I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops.
Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Orla.
And I'm Andrea. Coming up on today's show, well, it's that time of year when curling up with a great book really does sound like a great idea for many of us. So we're going to have some great suggestions of the right type of book for you, depending on what you like to read. And one of the stars of Disney on Ice is going to join us.
Yes, and talking about stars, Andrea, we'll also be chatting with Jax from Vanderpump Rules later on in the show, because he's coming to Montreal. We'll have all the details about his new TV show, his new bar. So that's quite exciting because I'm a huge fan. But first, have you ever considered breaking up with your smartphone? Maybe even just trying it for a month. Do you think you could do it? Kashmir Hill is a technology reporter for the New York Times, and she has done just this. This past December, she made the decision to give up her iPhone 15 in exchange, wait for it, a flip phone. She is on the line on the flip phone and joins us now. Hi, Kashmir. How are you?
Hi, I'm good.
Good. Thank you so much for joining us today. So this is quite interesting because I don't think Andrea and I, it would be like chopping off our right arm, I think, if we had to give up the iPhone 15. So why did you decide to do this?
Well, I had started having just a lot of anxiety around my phone use, in part because I was using it so often. I have an iPhone and I get those Apple screen time reports every week, which tell me how many hours each day I was using my phone. And for me, most weeks, it was over 5 hours a day, sometimes even over 6 hours a day. And I realize that sounds like a lot, but the average person uses their phone about 4 or 4.5 hours a day. It was the end of 2023. I just thought, I did the math and I realized I've been looking at my phone 3 months
Wow.
of 2023. And I just thought, man, no wonder I'm feeling so much anxiety. I need to make a change. And so I decided to make quite a dramatic one by switching to this flip phone.
Wow. I mean, that is drastic. I think I'm probably around the same amount of time as you on the phone. And it's like, honestly, when I was reading that you had made the decision to do this, it does in so many ways sound so liberating to me. But I know it's probably a lot easier said than done. So what are some of the biggest challenges that you've faced since deciding to give up your smartphone, especially as a technology reporter?
Yes.
Well, I was nervous because it means, you know, when you're away from your computer, you're away from the internet. And for me, one of the biggest things was I realized I didn't know how to get around. I am so reliant on Google Maps. Basically, anytime I'm going anywhere more than 15 minutes away, I use it to navigate. And so it did mean I needed to learn navigation again. And I would look up directions in advance before I left. And I was nervous about it. I did get lost a few times, which was stressful. But then by the end of the month, I knew the area where I lived. I knew how to get around. My husband was amazed. He's like, "You're a road wizard now." And I said, "Yeah, I mean, I did this when I was a kid, but I had just totally forgotten because I had outsourced that part of my brain to Google." And then just, you know, kind of it being more difficult to communicate with people because I had to use texting and phone calls. And for texting, I had to do T9, like my flip phone has those little 9 buttons
you
click.
I remember that.
And so it was so frustrating to text. And I would try calling people, but I discovered no one wants to use their phone as a phone. No one wants to pick up. No one wants to listen to a voicemail. And so my social circle shrunk a bit for the month.
It's true regarding the voicemails. I mean, most people you text and you just expect somebody to respond. Like, who leaves a voicemail these days?
I know.
Days,
I know. Right? If I have to go into my voicemail to get a particularly important one, I'm like clicking past so many that I'm like,
right.
What are these people doing?
Yeah. So what have you found, Kashmir, has been the happiest moment about, you know, ditching the iPhone 15 and switching to a flip phone?
Oh, man. So it's a lot. I mean, one big thing for me was my sleep. When I was on the iPhone, I would wake up in the middle of the night and try to fall back asleep and couldn't. And so then I would reach for my phone. I would start looking at it and I would read articles or online shop or look at social media. And I'd be up for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. And so when I switched to the flip phone, at first I would wake up in the night and then not have anything to do and fall back asleep. And now I just sleep through the night again. And so my sleep just improved dramatically. I had this kind of phone, I called it my thumb twitch. The first 2 weeks off the iPhone, I kept reaching into my pocket to like pull it out to touch it. And after about 2 weeks, that impulse went away. And in those moments where I would reach for it, like at a red light or at an elevator or, you know, sitting in my doctor's waiting room, my mind just got to wander. And over time, I just started feeling calmer. Like, I don't know, just like not being attached to the internet all the time gave me space to be bored and just and think. It was really nice. And then just spending time with my family. I have two young daughters and my husband. And I just felt like when I'm with them, I'm fully with them. My daughter said, "Wow, I like you better. I like this version of you better. You don't look at your phone as much and you play more with me." My husband said, "Wow, your face looks less stressed. You should try this for the year." And so I am still on the flip phone because I did find it so wonderful, honestly, to be a little bit more disconnected.
Wow. So you've also put forward the idea of Flip Phone February. Talk to us a little bit about this.
So when I would get my flip phone out, I mean, it looks ridiculous. I guess that was one of the downsides. Like, I felt a bit of stigma. Like, people must be wondering, is she a drug dealer? Like, why is she on a flip phone? But then when I would explain what I was doing, people, so many people were like, "Wow, I wish I could do that." And so I said, you know, maybe other people should try this. Like, just take a month off from your flip phone. I said, after dry January, let's have flip phone February, where people either actually switch to a flip phone or make a real attempt to use their phone less during February. And maybe they'll have to kind of to see the benefits that I saw. And I actually heard from a lot of people when my first story came out, hundreds of people say, "Yeah, I use a flip phone all the time. I love it. I have a better life. I have a better marriage. I have a better relationship with my children, and my mental health is improved because of it." So I think it's worth doing.
You're listening to Now Trending. I'm Orla alongside Andrea, and we are chatting with Kashmir Hill, a technology reporter for the New York Times, who ditched her iPhone 15 in exchange for a flip phone. So, Kashmir, what advice would you offer to somebody who's listening right now and is considering breaking up with the smartphone?
So, one, there's a lot of flip phones, dumb phones out there. There's actually an online resource called the Dumb Phone Finder. Say if you are, you know, you can't live without Waze. There's actually some dumb phones, flip phones that do have Waze or do have Spotify. So that's a good place to find one. You do need to make sure that your carrier supports the phone. You can't just buy any phone. So check with your carrier first, see what they support. And yeah, if you feel like you can't go to a flip phone, just try to do some interventions on your smartphone, whether it's putting some limits on apps or making it grayscale. It's a really effective technique. If you make your phone black and white, it will tend to reduce your usage by about 20%.
Kashmir, it's been an absolute pleasure. I don't know how you did it, but I'm happy you did.
I love it.
Congratulations.
I'm so inspired by this. I feel like, obviously a struggle to get there, but it would be quite liberating.
Kashmir,
yeah,
thank
you
so much for joining us.
You only have to do it for 2 weeks till the end of February.
That sounds less intimidating.
Thank you so much for joining us, Kashmir.
Oh my gosh, thanks for having me on.
That's Kashmir Hill, a technology reporter for the New York Times, coming up. Are you a huge bookworm? Well, the cozy winter read you've been waiting for is coming up next in our next interview. But first, let's take a look at the roads.
Welcome back. Happy Sunday. I'm Andrea along with Orla. So as we carry on into these cold winter months, a lot of us just feel like hibernating these days. So what better way to do so than with a really great book? Not sure what to reach for next? Well, let's get some advice. Andrea Barad runs the Instagram account Book Dumpling, where she recommends books for every type of reader. And she's also the owner of Book Dumpling Tutors and is on the line and joins us now. Welcome back.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. I know we spoke to you in the summertime about beach reads, but in the winter, sometimes we just want to curl up with something that feels kind of cozy. So what is it that gives certain books that sort of that cozy feeling that we gravitate towards at this time of the year?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. I think that in the winter, we have obviously more time indoors. I think that we are more accepting of sitting and doing a little bit less. So I feel like it goes two ways. I feel like people have a little more time for maybe some darker, longer fiction or some nonfiction, or in the same way that they are in the summer looking to escape, I feel like they're looking for some good, cozy winter stories, some holiday stories. And obviously the thrillers are actually at a peak at this time of year, just because I think people are looking for a fun way to escape the strange weather outside, I'll call it.
So, Andrea, you've sent us a fabulous list here. So anyone interested in literary fiction and Irish, what would you suggest?
So I love this book, The Bee Sting. I think it's a fabulous story. It's not for everyone. It's a little bit, it is dark and it is very long. I believe it's over 600 pages. But it's for lovers of Irish fiction, which tends to explore a lot of, the repercussions of alcoholism, of family dysfunction, a lot of poverty, a lot of very tumultuous political periods in Ireland. And The Bee Sting is by Paul Murray. It's just done in such a wonderful way with many different voices, many different characters. If you're a reader who needs something very straightforward, I would not suggest this for you. If you're a reader who actually really enjoys audiobooks, this is such a fabulous audiobook. Also, that beautiful Irish accent. There are two different narrators for the audiobook, and I really suggest that if you're looking for inspiration to go for a walk outside, you can put those headphones in.
Talk to us about Demon Copperhead.
So Demon Copperhead by Barbara Kingsolver, who's really a literary heavyweight. It's a modern take on Charles Dickens' David Copperfield, which tends to scare people who hear the word Charles Dickens. But it's a fabulous, updated look at essentially someone who becomes an orphan in Appalachia, suffering through the consequences of the opioid crisis. It's very, very funny, despite the description. Many types of readers have loved this book. Even readers who don't usually like this kind of literary fiction, she just has a way of grabbing you. She keeps the story moving. The characters are unbelievable. It's both happy and really, really sad. And this was really one of the best books I've read in a very long time.
Andrea, I don't know if I've mentioned this to you before, but I actually went to school and college in the town where Charles Dickens was born and lived and based all of his books off.
Oh, wow. I did not know that. That is so cool.
What kind of, yes. It must be really like he has a real legacy there.
Oh, 100%. So yeah. Much so that the town of Rochester, which is still a very quaint looking town, they have the Dickens Festival every year. So, of course, yours truly had to get dressed up. So my mum would make period costumes for my sister and I.
Yes, I'll come with you.
And you parade from one end of the high street. Everybody is dressed up in the period of Charles Dickens to the other, and there's street festivals, and it's just a fabulous, fabulous time. I have to see if I can dig out a photo and show Andrea.
Please do.
That is fantastic. I would love to do that one year. That's really awesome.
Anything to do with Charles Dickens, of course, does, you know, perk my ears up.
I'm taking
a look now at your next book on your list. For anybody interested in complex relationships, tell us about that one.
So The Heaven and Earth Grocery Store is a writer, James McBride. He wrote an excellent memoir called The Color of Water. He's from a very large family, mixed race family. His mother was Jewish, his dad black. It's a really phenomenal memoir that really broke all the records back when it came out. So he wrote a book called The Heaven and Earth Grocery Store. It is fiction. And it's about an old, not old, but back in the day, an area where African-Americans and immigrant Jews lived alongside each other. And it jumps through these different storylines. I don't want to give away too much, but it's really about these two communities that have experienced their own tumult in different ways within America. And both, you know, how they love each other and some of the problems that arise. It's really interesting.
Andrea, you were recommending over the weekend a book to me. It's a psychological thriller, What Lies Between Us. Tell us about that one.
Okay, so this is seriously one of the more disturbing books I've ever read, but kind of in a funny way, because it's so disturbing that you're like, I mean, how can you not laugh? But it's basically about a very twisted, all I'm going to say is it's about a very twisted mother-daughter relationship. And the twists keep on coming. I think it's super fun in terms of making you, you know, try to guess what's happening. It is so insanely twisted. I'm pretty sure it's set in Britain, in somewhere in the UK, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh,
his name is John Mars.
God.
Yeah.
It's your people.
There you go.
Oh,
yeah.
God. I disown them right now.
Yeah. Really fun, though. Really good.
Now, I'm taking a look, Andrea, at the next book on your list. I mean, listen, I'm a sucker for a love story in a magical, realistic world. I mean, that's like Barbie living in her world, right? I love it. This is not the story about Barbie, but I'm seeing here this book, Shark Heart by Emily Habeck. It seems very similar to a really weird movie I watched with Colin Farrell called The Lobster, that I was just like traumatized after watching.
Yes, The Lobster, exactly. So it's kind of reminiscent of, exactly, it's a very strange concept that you just have to embrace from the beginning, which is that we are in a world where some humans are mutating into animals, and that's it. That's the only touch of dystopian / fantasy element. The rest is simply a beautiful exploration of grief about a love story involving two people who are deeply in love. In the first year of their marriage, they find out that he is starting to turn into a shark. It sounds completely bonkers. It is such a beautiful book. It's such a beautiful book. And it's told in very short vignettes of chapters, very easy to read. And most of the people who I've recommended this book to were really resistant at first. And then they were like, wow, that was actually a really, really beautiful story.
Wow. Okay. Andrea, I know page-turning historical fiction is popular for a lot of people. So I want to also ask you about The House of Eve that is on your list.
So The House of Eve, that's probably my most often recommended book of 2023. It's an incredible exploration of something that happened to Black women, medically related. I don't want to give away too much because it's really something that should be taught in schools, and we don't know much about it here in Canada, at least with my experience. But it's really about how the medical industry took advantage of poor Black women, and the way it's written is jumping back and forth between the present and the past in such a fast-paced, wonderful way that I've even had teen girls have loved this book, which says a lot, by the way, that it's competed with social media. So The House of Eve is definitely one that has been a crowd pleaser and has really perked up our ears towards looking or hearing different information about things we don't know that's happened in the past.
Andrea, what a great list. Thank you so much for joining us with these book recommendations. We really appreciate it.
I am so happy. Anytime.
That's Andrea Barad, and you can find her great book recommendations, the one she spoke about today, and many, many more on Instagram at BookDumpling. Coming up, one of the stars of Vanderpump Rules, Jax, is going to join us. But first, the latest from the CTV Montreal newsroom.
Welcome back. I'm Orla alongside Andrea. Well, Vanderpump Rules is an American reality TV series which has been broadcast on Bravo since 2013, which focuses on Lisa Vanderpump and the staff at her restaurants and bars, Sur Pump Restaurant, which recently just closed. However, it did feature Pump, also Tom Tom Restaurant and Bar in West Hollywood, California. Well, our next guest, I'm a huge fan of. He was the popular star on Vanderpump Rules and now has his own reality TV show called The Valley. Reality TV star Jax Taylor. Welcome to the show, Jax.
Hey, thank you for having me. Very excited. Yeah, excited to be back on Vanderpump this season. Excited to have the new show. Yeah, excited.
Yes.
I mean, I've watched the show from the very, very start, and you have definitely had your ups and downs, being the villain, but now you're married, you've got a beautiful son, lots of new projects. So tell us about the new TV show called The Valley that's coming out on Bravo that you're starring in.
Well, I developed it 2 years ago during the pandemic. I needed I kind of departed from Vanderpump Rules and needed a little bit of a break. And then actually a couple of years went by and I said, you know what, I'm ready to go back to TV. So I developed a show, kind of The Valley, about just kind of the next phase in life. Nothing against Vanderpump. I love the show. I'm back on the show. But how many times are we going to cheat on the same people and have the same conversations for a decade? I mean, it's getting a little stale, in my opinion. In my opinion, I mean, there's only so many people you can cheat on. There's only so many same conversations you can have. And let's be honest, we're getting older. I mean, if you're not getting married, you're having kids, you're doing the same thing. I think we're beating a dead horse here that's been dead for a while. So,
this is the Jax that I know and love.
I personally think it's time for something else. I nothing against Vanderpump. I love the show. In fact, I'm back on the show. It gave me everything that I have, and I'm super grateful for it. I just think it's time for something else. It's time to see some evolving. It's time to see people get married, have kids, the next chapter of their lives. I mean, how many times, really, are you going to keep doing the same shit? So I think the fans deserve to see a lot of people, some of the cast you're going to recognize on the show, to evolve, see what they're doing now, see where they've been, you know, see what's going on other than going to the bar and watching somebody cheat on somebody.
So, Jax, are you still friends with a lot of the cast members from Vanderpump Rules?
Yeah, everybody. We hang out every day still. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. We all still hang out together. We all still do everything together. It's a very, real friendship that we all have. Yeah.
Now, your wife, Brittany, I mean, I loved your wife as soon as she was introduced on Vanderpump Rules. I have great admiration for everything she had to deal with. Are we going to see a different side of Jax on the new TV show, The Valley?
Well, I mean, I think, like I said, you got to have some involvement. And I think if you don't show any involvement, I think it's kind of weird. I think we're going to have different problems. We're going to have different issues, and the drama is definitely still there, but it's a different kind of drama. I'm not saying we're housewives yet, but we're definitely not Vanderpump. We're kind of like in that middle to where we're transitioning our lives into, a little bit more adulthood, different kinds of issues now. Like I said, people trying to have babies, people having kids, people getting married. Now you're dealing with family issues instead of, going to the bar and picking fights issues.
And cheating.
And cheating. Don't get me wrong. It's made Vanderpump what it is, but Jesus, it's been a
right.
decade of the same shit. It's time to come on.
Right. Listen, there were people that hated you. There were people that loved you. I was just thought this is great TV. And I was so happy, I have to say, from a personal point of view, that you met such a fantastic girl. I was thrilled for you, really. I'm absolutely thrilled for you. And you have a beautiful little family. So tell us about the podcast that you are now doing, which is called When Reality Hits with Jax and Brittany. Because to be honest, there's no reality like having a child.
It's been amazing. Having a child has changed my life for the better. Having, Brittany in my life has changed my life forever. I don't think if I had either of them, I'd be here today. So, they're both amazing. Obviously, Brittany and I decided to do a podcast a while back called When Reality Hits, which I thought was a kind of fitting title. And it's super successful. It's doing really, really well, actually better than I thought it was going to do. And we just go over pop culture, what's going on the show. Obviously, now with our new show, what's going on with that? Kind of trying to figure out how I'm going to navigate going back into reality TV now that I'm a father, now that I'm married. No one's ever seen that before. So, like I said, I kind of feel like I owe it to the fans to show everybody what we've been up to the last couple of years. That's kind of the main drive behind this, because we have so many fans that are like, why are you not on the show? Why? Like, you're not, where'd you go? Like, what's going on? We had a huge following for so many years. So people want to know what we're doing now, what we're up to now. So, when I created this show, I thought hey, they deserve this. And like I said, I was ready to come back to TV, in a different light. Now I needed to refresh the batteries a little bit, I needed to take a little break, a step down for a second, concentrate on my family. COVID was going on. My wife and I had a baby. There was just a lot going on that was a little bit more important than TV. So I needed a break.
Now, fans of Vanderpump Rule are like mega fans. I know when Orla and I were in LA, you know, she brought me to all the restaurants from Sewer to Tom Tom. We had a great time.
Yeah.
Did you ever expect this level of success when you signed up to be on Vanderpump Rules?
I think that the formula that we have is the formula that is working. Everybody's actually friends. Actually, I don't know about too much now, but in the beginning, everybody's been actually friends. Everyone actually hangs out together. Whether the camera's there or not, all this is going on regardless. We're not a casted show. And I think that's the formula you need to have for something successful. People are smart. People who watch TV are smart. They can see right through things. They can see when things are fake. And I think in the beginning, I think it was just very genuine. I think it was very organic, and it was just there. The cameras would just show up and turn the cameras on, and you just would have a show. So, I think, you know, I definitely saw the success in the beginning. I think it was very well. I'm still trying to figure out why all this big cheating scandal is such a big deal, considering everybody on the cast has cheated. So,
yes,
Maybe. Go ahead.
I wanted to actually approach that because we cannot possibly air a Vanderpump Rules star like you talk about Vanderpump Rules and not throw in that big naughty word called Scandoval. Do you think that they really took too much heat, as I think they did? You know, because let's be honest.
It's just they kind of went with it and ran with it, kind of, you know, and it's made the show what it is, believe it or not. You know, it kind of picked it back up again, because I think it was kind of on the downfall, and then this happened again, and then it kind of got its wings again. So, you know, I guess I can give props to Ariana and Tom on this, right? Because they kind of revived everything. In fact, they even helped revive my show. So I can't really blame them. I can't really be mad at them, right?
But why is everyone else mad at them? Raquel and Rachel now.
I don't know.
Okay, it's good, because
turning.
You know what? Everybody was at it, Jack. So they did it, and then all of a sudden they're the real villains. I mean, I didn't think it was fair. I think they took too much heat, to be honest with you.
I don't know. To be honest, I can't answer that. I don't know. I mean, like I said, everybody's done the same thing. There's nobody who's done
exactly.
it differently or better or whatever. Everyone's done the exact same thing. So that's why I'm still kind of dumbfounded on why this was such a big deal. I mean, people cheat every day. I don't understand it. Wasn't that big. To me, in my head, it wasn't that big of a scandal.
You're listening to Now Trending. I'm Orla alongside Andrea, and we are chatting with the star of Vanderpump Rules, Jax Taylor, who also has his new TV show coming out called The Valley. Jax, Lisa Vanderpump, she always seems to be there for everyone on the show, no matter what trouble they get into. And I just love that about her. I think that's the British in us. Are you guys still good friends? And how has she reacted to all your new projects?
You know what? I ran into, you'll have to see, because I'm, like I said, I'm back on Vanderpump Rules this season. So you'll have to see how that plays out. You know, obviously everyone took a break during COVID. I think everybody kind of, you know, was just kind of worried about their family. So I get into that on the show. You'll kind of have to see. I don't want to give it away to anybody. But I think everybody's doing okay. You know, my new bar has been super successful. It's gotten a lot of hype, and there's lines out the door. And I didn't honestly think this was going to be that busy. But I think my demographic and my layout and my situation at the bar, I think people just love it. I have really inexpensive prices, and it's just a lot of fun, and people just really enjoy it. It's a little bit more laid back, other than my castmates. Their bars are a little bit more fancy than mine. That's just not who I am. So I wanted a little bit more laid back, a little more casual. And I think it's doing really, really well. And I'm really happy for it. And like I said, you know, I definitely learned a little bit from Lisa when it comes to restaurants and bars. I don't know a lot, but you know what I did learn? I put it towards my restaurant, and things are going pretty good. Can't complain.
So your new bar is called Jax's Studio City. And where exactly is it?
In Studio City.
Fair enough.
Oh, God. Well, this...
You can tell LA geography is...
The reason I put Studio City underneath is because we're franchising. We're going to be going to Nashville. We're going to be going to Florida. We're going to go to Chicago. We're going to franchise it. So it's Jax's, but I just put Studio City underneath it.
Okay. I think I need to brush up on my geography in LA.
I think we need to go to LA again, Orla. I think that's what we need to do. We need to go see the bar for ourselves.
Yes.
It's a lot of fun. I'd love to have you guys. Let me know if you ever come.
Oh, don't worry. We will. Jax, thank you so much for joining us today. Congratulations on all your success.
Thank you so much. Thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. That's Jax Taylor, the star of Vanderpump Rules, and also his new show coming out, The Valley. Coming up, we'll chat to Montrealer Olivier Poupart, who will be skating in Disney on Ice, which is coming up at the end of the month. But first, let's take a look at the roads.
Welcome back. I'm Andrea, and there's Orla. So Disney on Ice is coming back to Montreal next week, and they're presenting Magic in the Stars at Place Belle from February 28th to March 3rd. And this is exciting. There's a Montrealer skating in the show. His name is Olivier Poupart, and he's on the line and joins us now. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi. It's so nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
So what's your role in this Disney on Ice?
It's going to be your pleasure to come see it and figure it out by yourself.
Oh, well, that's going to be right, okay. All right, okay, a guessing game.
So, Olivier, tell us, where you grew up in Montreal. Tell us a bit about yourself.
I grew up in Pointe-aux-Trembles, so on the complete east of the island. I've skated my whole life. Basically, I started at two and a half. And I've skated through up to national level in ice dance. And after that, I was starting to be a little bit bored with the competition level. And I was like, I need something. I need the crowd. That's what I loved. And I really needed the crowd from the shows and everything. That was my favorite part of the year when we had the end of the year shows. So a friend of mine was on the shows already. And he was like, you know what, you should audition. And I sent my audition tape, and I got the spot, and I got directly sent on the show. And now the rest is history. It's been 5 years I'm on tour.
Oh wow, that's so cool. So what's it like being on tour with Disney on Ice? I guess you must get to visit a lot of cool places.
Yes, we definitely get to visit so many cool places. I'm lucky enough that the last 2 years I've been able to drive the tour with my fiance. So we've been driving from place to place, and we do little side trips in between cities, or we go directly to our other cities when we have a nice city or something cool that where we want to see. But that's really fun that we get. I'm missing maybe 3 or 4 states in the United States and one province, and I did everything with my car, and that's something that I really love, and I really pump about every time we see a new city.
You're listening to Now Trending. I'm Orla alongside Andrea, and we are chatting with one of the stars in Disney on Ice, who's actually from Montreal. Now, Olivier, I know you want to keep it a secret, lovey, but here's the thing. So many people are listening to this interview right now that are probably going to be going to that show and would love to keep their eyes out for you so they can, you know, establish, oh, that was the guy that was interviewed. So can you not give us a tiny, tiny insight into what your character is?
Badly, I cannot. It's absolutely a secret, and it's all about the magic of Disney, and we want to keep a secret about this.
Wow, some Disney secrets. Okay. All right, we'll respect that. Okay. We'll respect that. All right, so for people who are going to be attending Disney on Ice and trying to figure out which one you are, tell us a little bit about the show, Magic in the Stars.
There must be, Andrea, a lot of people in that cast, though, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, we are 54, 55 skaters. Sorry, I don't remember on top of my head. We have a lot of people on the show. We have about 50 and something skaters.
Wow.
Everybody is doing mostly a character. So we have characters from, we have Lightning McQueen, we have Ryan the Last Dragon, we have Asha from the movie, the new movie Wish, that we were the first ones to put live in the performance a couple months past from now. We have so many different stories from Disney, and Magic in the Stars is all about the story that the stars are bringing. And so the Mickey, Goofy, and all of the other friends are going to bring you from starts to start to understand and listen to the new the Disney stories that are happening in the stars.
What it, you know what, Orla and I have had the opportunity to, I guess at this point, attend quite a few Disney on Ice shows, and I'm always right. so impressed with how different each one is from, you know, from one performance to the next. You guys put on such beautiful shows, and it is so magical for the kids. What's it like when you look into the audience and you see these little faces, you know, looking up at you with the, with these bright eyes, like kind of in awe?
It's really my magic. It's what makes my magic and my day. Sometimes we have a day that's a little bit, you know, when we're on tour, we're 10 months out of the year. Sometimes it gets long and we're missing our families, of course. But as soon as you get on the ice, you forget all about this and you remember why you're doing it. And it's really amazing. And sometimes you just make their day or their week or their year just because you waved at them. At the right time, and it's really amazing for me.
That is really, really cool. I understand you also have a little pre-performance ritual that you do before a show. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I really like to. I'm always listen to some rock music. I really like rock music, and I listen to this and while warming up, and I get ready while warming up with my music and I get in my headspace and I'm ready to go for the show.
That's really cool. Would you say it's kind of like a superstition?
Yeah, I cannot go on ice without doing it.
That's awesome.
Well, we always do the exact same thing, most of us.
Well, Olivier, thank you so much for joining us. I mean, I don't know how people are going to pick you out in that crowd, to be honest with you, but it was nice chatting to you.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Thank you. You too. That's Montrealer Olivier Poupart, who will be starring and skating in Disney on Ice Magic in the Stars at Place Belle from February 28th to March 3rd. Well, that's all we have time for today. Thank you for spending part of your Sunday with us. We'll be back at the same time next week. In the meantime, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Now Trending Show. Have a fabulous week.